With all that being said, and talking about homegrown tomatoes, on line one, we've got somebody who knows something about homegrown tomatoes, and that's Barbara Malera from Landreth Seed Company. How you doing, Barbara?
Great, Mike. Nice to be here with you.
Great to be with you. Now, I really appreciate what you're doing today, because I know you're traveling around today. Explain where you are.
Right now we're in upstate New York, where a lot of our trial gardens are, and then I'm headed back to Pennsylvania, where our warehouse is. We've been harvesting the last of the stuff from the trial gardens, and I've been getting photographs of what a garden looks like this time of the year for our newsletters. And then tomorrow morning, bright and early, I'll be back at the warehouse.
And I'll bet those days are pretty long at the moment. And when something I found out the other day, because we chatted on the phone the other day, and I should have taken into account, this has not been the best month ever for you. And I'm not just talking about the company and the notice you received to keep the company going, but you've been dealing with weather issues too, haven't you?
Huge weather issues. And our building last Wednesday took a direct hit from lightning. But I swear that the whoever's up above is looking out for us. The odd thing is that the lightning froze our internet communications capability. So we were down for 24 hours. We couldn't speak to people through the internet, but it didn't do anything to our phones. So we were able to talk to people via the phone. So, you know, there was a little tiny silver lining in that otherwise dark cloud. We've had quite a bit of flooding, but nowhere near the amount of flooding that places like the Schoharie Valley has seen. That's a tragedy beyond our wildest imaginations right now. But we've had quite a few challenges, Mike, this month.
Yes, you have. Unbelievable. It starts off finding out that your company, Landreth Seed Company, why don't you explain the story, because you'll tell it better than I will.
Okay. We received a garnishment of our accounts, which means all our business accounts were frozen as of August the 30th of this year. We knew that we had a problem, but we were hoping that we'd be able to get it resolved without it going to the garnishment issue stage. What that did to us is it froze our accounts. So I have no access to capital to pay for people's salaries and utilities and any inventory that we are getting in. The good news is that we were up to date on almost everything, so we had a month to survive under this garnishment order. But in the course of that month, if we don't raise enough money to pay off the notes that we legitimately owe, and I want to make that perfectly clear, we owe this money to these people. We borrowed it. We intended to pay it back. We did not pay it back in the time frame that was allocated by the notes. We owe this money, and we are in arrears. But if we don't get this money paid back by the end of the month, I don't know where the funding is going to come from to, you know, allow us to continue to operate. Now, the lawyers are in discussions. There's all sorts of stuff like that going on. But the bottom line is we need to come up with a lot of money to pay these notes off, or at least enough money to convince a court that we're making every effort to get these notes paid off as soon as possible.
I have to ask you, why 1 month? Is that an arbitrary figure? Is this a standard procedure? Why 1 month?
It's more arbitrary than it is standard. At the end of this month, I have utilities bills, all sorts of operating expenses, and I don't have access to any capital to pay these ongoing expenses. If we don't get the garnishment order reconciled in some way, I just don't have the money to continue to operate. That's what the 1 month is. The only good thing that came from an August 30th garnishment is that, like I said, most of the utilities bills and stuff like that were paid through the end of September. So, yes, it is a little bit of an arbitrary in that the court hasn't said you've got 30 days and then we're coming in. From an operating perspective, we have 30 days. And after that, there's just no access to capital to continue to operate.
We're talking to Barbara Malera, who's the owner of Landreth Seed Company. So you put the word out, you got the notice as of August 30th, so it hasn't been more than a couple of weeks. And I guess one of the people who really stepped up big time was Mr. Brown Thumb here in Chicago, who posted on his blog about this. Is that kind of how this all got started?
Absolutely. Ramon, I've known Ramon for about 2 years now, and he jumped in with both feet and did a blast to all of the people that subscribe to his emails and to his gardening website. He was an enormous help in helping us to get the word out. We also, we call her our Facebook genius, a young woman whose name is Kristen Tillett. And I called her on, September 1st. And I said to her, Kristen, this is what's going on. Is there any way we could try to get the word out to people and maybe enough people would buy enough catalogs that we could get out from under this? And she said, I know just what to do. And between her and Mr. Brown Thumb and a few other wonderful either Facebook people or website people, we've been proliferating the news throughout the country.
And you told me an interesting story when we talked the other day about how sales are going. I just got tweeted, somebody wants to know, what can we do to help? Well, one of the things you can do is you can go to Landreth Seed Company and buy a catalog. And as you told me, that when the word got out about this and the social media started responding, tell me about the progression of the orders that were coming in.
Okay. This time of the year, we normally get orders a couple of times a day. When the initial Facebook announcement went out, we started getting orders about one every 10 minutes, which is astonishing for us. Then it went to one every 5 minutes, and as of Wednesday of last week, it jumped literally to one a minute. It was, we're pretty simple folk. We sat there and we looked at the order page on the back end of our website, and it was just going click, 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 and we're going, oh my God, look at this! It was amazing. It was inspiring, and it was really encouraging to all of us that. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? What we need to do, because you've only got a little over 2 more weeks, what I wonder is, if you're doing that well and they continue to come in, is it possible that you could buy some more time if you say, hey, look what's happening. Look at the orders we're getting. Do you think that's a possibility?
I absolutely do. I don't understand the legal system in this country, so I can't say for sure. But I don't see how, if at the end of this month, if we're building momentum and we've made a huge dent, why they won't give us some more time. I just think any rational system would do that, and I think ours would.
You're asking for rationalism?
Okay, perhaps I misspoke. But
you're talking about our legal system and our banking system right now.
Hope springs eternal from a gardener.
Yeah,
grows from the ground.
And that's what gardeners are all about.
Hope.
You put a seed in the ground and you hope it comes up. And and you put the word out that people should buy catalogs. And sell a million? I mean, how does one sell a million catalogs in a month? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's a huge target. Let me tell you what I'm hoping, talking about hope, will happen. Let me tell you what the catalog is very briefly. It's not just a seed catalog that you would get from any of the wonderful seed houses in this country. I'm not trying to take business away from them. Our catalog since we've been writing the catalog, has been dedicated to educating people about the history of the vegetables, the flowers, and the herbs that they eat. The catalog we're about to take to press is an extraordinary resource if you want to understand where your bees came from, how bees got to the United States, if you want to know where, you know, what happened, how did we get to cosmos, why do we even know about the flower echinacea. If you want to know those things, this is why this catalog is an extraordinary resource. And what I was hoping would happen is a couple of big corporations who do a lot of talking about how they're interested in greening and they're interested, they want to be environmentally conscious and they care about the people in this country. A couple of those big companies would say, okay, we're going to buy 5,000 copies, we're going to buy 10,000 copies, and this December we're going to give them to all of our customers and all of our employees. There's plenty of huge corporations that this would be a sweet little present if and when they give bonuses in addition to their bonuses, or if they don't give bonuses, it's just a sweet present that teaches us a little bit about how to value this country and the contributions it's made on the horticulture and agriculture side. So, I mean, the way to get to a million catalogs is have a couple of big corporations jump in with both feet and buy 10, 20,000 catalogs and distribute them.
You know how you sell a million catalogs?
How?
Practice, practice, practice.
I'm sorry. That joke's been going through my head for weeks, but I can't get it out. We're talking to Barb Malera, who's the owner of Landreth Seed Company. You know, there are folks who are listening right now, and they're thinking, well, as you said, as you explained, it's more than just a catalog. But why don't you give a little background on the company and a reason why this company should be saved, you know, versus any other company in the United States?
Oh, I would love to have the opportunity to speak to that. This, for all of your listeners, this company is 228 years old. It was founded in 1784. It has been a part of this country through from the time of its birth until the present time. It introduced the nation to things like the zinnia. It did that in 1798. The white flesh potato in 1811, the tomato in 1820, and to the spinach that you eat today, which is mostly a variety called Bloomsdale Longstanding. He developed that in 1826. It's a company that, and this is true, though we don't have documents to support this. We have the writings of the Landreths from the 1800s and early 1900s. The company sold seeds to Thomas Jefferson, to George Washington. When George Washington would travel back after he was dealing with the Continental Congress, he would stop at Landreth. Jefferson would stop at Landreth. Napoleon Bonaparte's brother, who bought property near Philadelphia, they would all stop at Landreth and buy seeds. And the company has sold seeds to every American president up to and including FDR. So it's not just a company. It's a piece of every American. And that's why more than anything else it needs to be saved. It's who we are. And it's a great part of who we are. It's a company that placed integrity and honesty and commitment above everything else. It was the very first seed company, horticulture company, to devote large amounts of land to just doing quality testing on their own seeds. They set aside 7 acres in 1800 as trial gardens to test the quality of their seeds, to make sure that what they were selling people was good seed. They then, in 1870, no government made them do this, they on their own decided that there was too much graft in the industry, and they started dating their seed packets. Now, let me tell you one funny thing. They were so committed to integrity that they insisted that their seeds, at the end of the season, any seeds left over had to be burned. And they actually have pictures of burning seeds in the 1870s, 1880s at their facility in Bristol, Pennsylvania. Well, they got almost fanatical about this, and their little seed packet displays that they would send out to their hardware stores and their customers throughout the country, they called them cremation boxes. Now, isn't that a terrible marketing ploy, because they wanted people to know that the seeds that were left over in their seed pack displays were going to be cremated at the end of the season. I mean, can you imagine going into your hardware store and buying something out of a cremation box? Probably not.
Not anymore. No.
But they wanted to get across to their customers that it was important to them to sell good products. And they've done that. They did that throughout the entire time that they owned this company. They also were an enormously important part of their communities, and they helped. They held the responsibility to their community as a priority.
I'll tell you what, we're almost out of time here, Barb, so I would love to have you go on for 20 minutes, but I want to make sure that you give us a phone number, because there are people who listen to the show who are not on the Internet and who are not on Twitter and they're not on Facebook. Give us a phone number where people can call to order a catalog.
800-654-2407.
800-654-2407. I'm also thinking, you know, somebody needs to get a hold of Michelle Obama and make sure that they get some Landreth seeds.
You got it.
I mean, and then maybe the White House can get the word out on this as well. One of my tweets that came in, Barb, it's not real hopeful, but it's interesting. It was about how long it would take to, it says, 1 minute isn't going to do it. A million catalogs in a month is 23 per minute. So that's your goal.
Thank you. 23 per minute.
23 a minute, yeah. It says 1 a minute isn't going to do it.
All right, Barb, I have to let you go. 800-654-2407. Information's on my website. Let's keep talking over the next few weeks and see how we do. Okay, Barb?
We'll definitely do it. Thanks, Mike.
Hang in there.
All righty.
Bye-bye.